Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, I have another fine author interview today, and let me introduce him. He is Ian Worrell. Ian lives in Nova Scotia, Canada. He enjoys training in martial arts, playing drums, has recently taken up archery as a hobby, and he is one of the biggest Iron Maiden fans ever. Working different jobs with a dream of writing and publishing a novel, his book, No Remorse, No Regret, is his first novel. And we are about to find out more. So welcome to the network, Ian.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I was looking forward to you today. I found a lot of helpful hints and tips on your website, and I'm sure others will as well. The homepage features fairly consistently written posts that you share, tips on the craft of writing. Just give us a little peek into that.
Basically, I just like to write. I'll sometimes take some writing books that I use, and I use some exercises from that, and I'll give my own sort of take on it, and how to create some original stories, original characters, anything else like that. Today I just came up with the story formula, which basically, there's different types of ways you can write this formula. Like the first one I would mention is the hero's journey, where it follows the typical act structure and stuff like that. And so, like I said, how to make a formula, make story sound original, would be you take the person who it's challenged by their events, the plot of the story is the events, and the story is about a person who is challenged by the events, their flaw, their character flaw or something. They're challenged by the events of the story, and they either overcome it or they fail. You can also, one way to do it is also follow the journalism, the 5 W's, who, what, when, where, why, and how. That's one way I'll come up with writing stories and stuff.
See, that probably helps you to read and then write about it as well. Not only does it help your website visitors, but I would imagine that it helps you to learn and retain that additionally.
Yes.
Well, maybe if we have time later on, you can share a few more of your top tips, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. Let's talk about your book, No Remorse, No Regret. It's a book about a female contract killer. So where did that come from?
I wanted to do a revenge story. And, it's a lot of the revenge stories are if you see the Neeson movie Taken, there's always some sort of special forces guy, a covert spy or male character whose wife or daughter or someone gets kidnapped or something like that. And so he goes, mows down all the bad guys single-handedly. So I wanted to have this story from, instead of having it always the male character, have a female character avenged. So she was kidnapped by a serial killer, accidentally rescued by a Russian mafia head who trains her in hand-to-hand combat and weapons, everything. So she takes out revenge on men that views women and stuff, and also takes out enemies of the man that rescued her. It was mainly to try to come up with a different take on the revenge story tropes.
That's interesting. And so as a male writing from a female perspective, how was that for you?
It's a little challenging, as say women see things differently than men do, but a lot of it's just you read books on women on I'm trying to remember the book. It was on a screenwriting book. It was basically how the women at characters are different from men, so that there's the woman in the story, I think it was. The woman in the story is basically how to do by Helen JC and Linda Sager. And the women in the story, how to write memorable female characters and stuff like that. So that's how you come up with the story. How to come up with a female take on the characters.
It reminds me of a gentleman I interviewed once who also wrote a story from the female perspective. And when I asked him about that, he said, oh, he signed up for a all-woman's writing class and told his wife that it was for research. I said, yeah, right. So however you can get that perspective, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you gave us just a tiny little taste. Maybe give us a little bit more, no spoilers or anything, but just talk a little bit more about the plot of the book.
Well, she goes through, the police eventually track onto her through, through one of the killings that she does. One of the guys who attacked a couple of children when he was younger. And so she also, the same day that she took out an attacker, an enemy of her, of the man that rescued her. So there's also go through a gang war between the Russian mafia and another organized crime group. And so there's also a corrupt police officer who was a mole in the police department for the Russians and everything. So the police are trying to track the serial killer as well as the contract killer, while the contract killer or the serial killer is trying to find Melissa, the one that was that got away from that and accidentally survived the rampage that he went on 10 years previously in the book.
Now, did you have to do much research to complete this?
There's a lot of research on different types of criminal element, like how police investigate crimes. Two of my bosses were former RCMP officers, so they were able to get insight on that and like the different type of guns that somebody would use, like the Tavor. I have her using a Tavor sniper rifle as opposed to a 50 caliber sniper rifle for some things, because she would a smaller person would be overwhelmed by the power of a larger rifle.
Right.
Plus you also, if you get beta readers and they tell you what's the good points or the bad points and where you need to strengthen the book.
Well, let's talk about beta readers for a moment. So you had a group of folks who pre-read this for you. And so the feedback, how was that to receive the feedback? Was it easy to make the changes? Did you feel resistant to make changes? Let's talk about that process.
No, you can't be resistant to make the changes because, beta readers are doing you a favor by reading your book for free. And so they're, as opposed to paying to read the book. So you have to be open to their suggestions. And if there's more than one person saying, this is where I feel it's weak in the story.
Right.
Then you have to pay attention to what they're saying, that maybe they've got a point. Mm-hmm. So you have to be open to their suggestions. Mm-hmm. Open to feedback, open to other people's feedback. Because basically they're doing, like I said, the beta readers are doing you a favor. They really are hoping you to get your book succeed. And they are hoping you to make your book the best book that you can make it.
You put your heart and soul into something, you think a certain passage is just absolutely wonderful, and then you get people saying, no, I don't think so.
In some ways, yeah, but one of the things I've also read about is that every famous writer gets a negative feedback. Like if you go on an Amazon listing and look for like Stephen King or insert the name of any other famous, hugely successful author, all of them have few one-star reviews on Amazon.
Sure. No, I get that. It's just, as humans, we always tend to dwell on things like that. It's hard to move on. So the title, No Remorse, No Regret, how did you come up with the title?
Well, it's a take on there is a book by Tom Clancy called Without Remorse, and when he did show the beginning of one of his characters, John Clark, that's in his Jack Ryan series. And so I got Without Remorse. I thought I'd just do a different take on that and have what a character. She had no remorse, no regret for what she did during the story.
Now let's talk about then your cover art. How did that come about?
Well, there was a Fiverr artist on called German Creative. And like basically she gave you the link to get some pictures. And so I download pictures from Deposit Photos for the book, and the German creative on Fiverr was able to do up the book cover.
And was that a long process, or you were pretty quick with that?
It was pretty quick. She's generally got it done, I think, in less than a week, if I remember correctly.
Excellent. All right. So that was not an arduous task. What about the publishing process? How did you go about that?
Well, I self-published it on Amazon, so it was just a case of getting the editor, getting anything editing done, and all you have to do is put it into the self-publishing on Amazon's Kindle, which is, then you go through that and you can choose whether you want to do KDP Select, which I have so far. So then a little bit later, you get the print version and put it on Amazon's print-on-demand service to create space.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah, thank goodness for self-publishing, because you can get your work out there a lot faster and move on. So is there going to be a sequel, another book after this?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get the sequel. It's tentatively titled A Second Life. I'm hoping to get it out by summer. Mm-hmm. That'll be I'm not going to give the spoiler list, because it would tell possibly what happened at the end of the first book, but I'm hoping to get the sequel, and I'm hoping to do the whole book and a whole series and stuff like that.
So this is going to be a series?
Yeah, that's the intention, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, now on your website, you also have a free gift.
The website, though, is the free gift, that would be the sign up to receive, that's what originally was, and I sign up to receive 2-part short story of Melissa in training. That's the immediate aftermath of when she meets Danil, who is the guy who is the Russian mafia head that rescued her. And mm-hmm. So it's Melissa in training. So it's in between like the prologue of the book and the main body of the book.
Okay.
The events of what happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
So how he trains, it gives about how he trains her and other stuff.
Now, did you have any background in any of this, or is this just completely new for you?
Well, one time I used to work in the film industry before I did work security work, and so there was a slowdown in that back years ago, and so I started doing screenwriting, and that wasn't working out, so I decided to try my hand at writing a novel and getting it self-published with the advent of Amazon's Kindle and everything. Makes it a lot easier to get your stuff to market.
Mm-hmm. So are you still working a full-time day job?
Yeah, full-time day job.
Okay, yeah, so you've got to squeeze the writing in when you have time.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about your writing process. How, when, where, how does it happen for you?
Well, for me, it's just generally when you can get the time, because I work shift work, because today I currently quarter afternoon my time, and if I work tonight at 5 o'clock and go to 1 o'clock in the morning, that schedule's pretty solid until the end of March, and then you can go back into the normal shift rotation where you do some days you'd work day shifts, other times you work night shifts, back shifts, and stuff like that, and then you'd have like days off during the week, like 3 or 4 days off during the week. And so during the days that I'm writing, I would probably work you'd probably get maybe an hour of writing in, and then days off, I would get a lot more writing. I try to get 2 to 4 hours writing stuff that's done. We have a union contract that allows you to have breaks during work, so you can work on little writing exercises during breaks at work.
And so you're still involved with the security business?
Yes. I work security at a university in Nova Scotia.
Okay. So it puts you in a little bit of danger, huh?
Not really, no. It's a pretty easy job there, so there's not much danger that we have here.
All right, good. At least your mind is at ease so that you could come up with creative thoughts for your book, right?
Yeah.
That's good. And so do you write at home? Are you the one of the kinds that could get out to a coffee shop or be out in public and write, or do you have to have quiet?
I like to have quiet. I write in my home, but generally I can write anywhere. Like sometimes I'll do a I'll bring a notebook on me if I have to go to like a dentist or any other appointment, and I know it's going to be a little while, or a car appointment. I can work on a writing task there while waiting for like a car to get done or something.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's all about just trying to find my writing process. All about trying to find the time and write whenever you can and stuff.
Right. Well, let's talk about your characters and character development. Do you have this all fleshed out ahead of time with spreadsheets where you know everything about these people, what's in the refrigerator, what's in their garbage can, or are you more kind of the seat of your pants writer?
I'd say somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. Like the first there's most writers, like you, with the first draft, you're just basically getting to know the characters and some of that. So, then you can flesh them out. Then after you get the first draft, you can flesh it out characters out later, because you always, on first draft, like a lot of people will say, the first draft of everything is garbage or something, and so you edit it and improve it later to try to make the characters sound different and stuff like that. One way to do it, you give each person a different type of quirk and stuff like that. If you see the March 12th post on the site, the character exercise, is that you would have this for Mickey. It's not an actual character that exists yet, but it's a type of person who would use others to get what he wants. And so, do you want the character to say that type, like a bad person? You want to get to redeem themselves. Mm-hmm. But then a little later on, that's how you develop the characters.
So when you're writing these characters, do they take off on their own? Do they become who they want to be? Or do you feel that you're always in control of how you want them to be?
Generally speaking, I would say a little bit of both. Like, say, one of the female characters, one of the female detectives, I wanted to really be a sarcastic type of character, like, you know, you ever saw the Law and Order series, like the Lenny Briscoe character in that series?
Right.
Trying to make her sound like that one. Mm-hmm. Is there like a female version of the Lenny Briscoe character in Law and Order? It's just sort of hard to explain. Sometimes it'll come to you like, hey, this might be a good way to take the character. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're really deliberately writing out like different things. Like one tip I do is write out 10 different ways you can make a character sound different.
Oh.
From the other. And then that's one way to do it. And then you pick like one or two best of those traits to make the character sound different from another one.
Oh, so talk about that for a minute. What are some of the 10 ways to make a character sound different?
Well, one way is like a female or a male character would sound different or be different.
Sure.
So obviously, and so does the person. What are the person's interests? Do they like to? Are they heavy drinker, or are they smoker, or are they into fitness and stuff like that? And how is the person, that's one trait or something, how you make the character.
That's a very interesting exercise. So that's on your website.
Yeah, it's in there.
Give us your website name.
Yeah, it's ianworrellauthor.com.
Okay, and it's spelled IanworrellL, ianworrellauthor.com. We'll circle back to that in a little bit. What about dialogue? How is that for you to write?
Not too bad. I've done same thing as a lot of other stuff. You try to come up with a different way to make the character sound differently. One, I've used books like this, How to Make, there's different books, like I think it was Marcy Scott or James Scott Bell on how to make stories. Like one of the things I hear of his dialogue tips is How to Write Dazzling Dialogue by James Scott Bell and The Busy Writer's Guide to Dialogue by Marcy Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the couple of books I use. So one of the things you always have is most people don't talk with perfect grammar when they're writing.
Right.
Or when they're talking. So they'll say stuff like ain't or where's that. And you also know the speech patterns of where you're setting your story.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And so it's easy to do that when you're for knowing the speech patterns of your hometown. But what if you want to say set it in a southern town or so? You'd have to ask people to. So you would probably approach people on like social media. If you read the dialogue, see whether it sounds authentic to what people would sound there.
So true. Yeah. Just different areas in the country. Some people say pop, some say soda, some say Coke. And yeah, you'd have to know all of those things. And I would also imagine consistency, so that every time that person speaks, the reader would think, yes, that is the person speaking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that goes into it. So you know, you're mentioning these books. So as you're writing, are you referring to the books, or do you just get it all out there, and then once it's out, then you go back to the books and try to sharpen it?
Basically, would go back to like the books, like on how to improve the dialogue, and then sharpen up the dialogue. That's usually how we do it.
Okay, so it's probably a good idea to first just get it out of you, right?
Yeah, just get it out of you, and then you improve it, and you find out where it's weak and stuff. And a lot of like the writing books and courses like that are generally really good to help.
You know, as we're talking, I wonder if it's scary to people. It such almost sounds like an insurmountable thing to write, because a lot of people just feel, I just want to write what I feel and get it out there and not worry about the mechanics. Is that something to be worried about, or is there a case to be made for, hey, just get it out there, make sure that obviously your grammar is correct, but what do you think about that?
I would say you really always want to get your writing to get make your book the best you can, that it can be, and so on, because sometimes if your characters all sound the same, you're more likely, that's when, if you're not working, making effort to make your book, your writing better, that's when you're more likely to end up with more negative reviews than positive reviews.
Yes, yeah. Just interesting. I've interviewed so many authors and I've heard so many points of view that I'm always interested to find out what people think and what they do and why. So you've been giving us a lot of help with that. I appreciate it. So what's your hope for your books? What do you want your readers to come away with? What's your goal?
Just hopefully they enjoy the book and have fun reading it. Mm-hmm. That's what fiction is about. It's about entertaining people.
So do you think about the reader as you're writing?
To a point, I'd like to see what they write. I mean, a lot of people would say write the story that you want to write, and then hopefully it'll be other people will like it too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You never know, do you?
No.
You don't. So what about you personally, as you are now a published author? What have you learned about yourself that maybe might surprise you?
Learned that I can basically accomplish a goal that I set. That I set my mind to. That's probably the first thing. There's a surprise that there a lot of people actually did enjoy the book or something. It's not just my friends that have said that they enjoyed it. People that who I met on a couple people in a marketing group said it was a good book, and so that's it. It's one thing for friends who've known for years to say they enjoy your books. Another thing for people who you don't know that they enjoy the book.
Absolutely. It's reassuring and it makes you feel good. And
yeah.
You need that because it's kind of a lonely business, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
For sure. As far as promotion, what do you do to promote your books? Do you have any advice on using social media? Because that's a big thing where, you know, just years ago, people didn't have that ability to even do any self-promotion.
Basically, don't spam it. Social media, don't write 50 posts a day saying, hey, buy my book, hey, buy my book. The first thing, one of the things I've read is with social media, first thing is you want to write, put helpful hints on helping people on how to improve the writing. So probably 80% helpful hints and maybe 10 to 20% buy my book type of post.
And that's what you do on your website, all of the very helpful posts. And that's the first thing that comes up on your website, which I thought was very refreshing. You don't often see that. It's most often, hey, here's my book. And here's where you can get it. So you stood out to me as being a little different and in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are there any other writing tips you want to share today?
Probably the most important thing is just don't give up on your writing. If it's something you want to do, don't give up on it. That's probably the most important tip that I can give to other writers and stuff.
The process is so intense and it's so long
that
you don't know what's going to come out at the back end. So you really have to make a commitment to see this thing through before you even get any kind of feedback.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's not many other things that you do in life where you just pour your whole soul. You know, it's kind of a deep well it comes from, and you're laying it all out there and just hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Wow. So we asked what was next. You're doing the sequels to this book. Do you think there's going to be any other books in the future, any other glimmers in your mind that are not associated with No Remorse, No Regret?
Possibly. I've had a couple ideas for post-apocalypse type books and stuff. And one set during an ice age, another one, and stuff like that. Okay. I'm coming up with those ideas. And lot of it just sometimes an idea would come to you and you'd put it on like the note part of my smartphone or in a notebook and stuff like that when I'm out or something. But the two biggest things would probably be like would be a storyboard set in an ice age or something. Like
wow. Don't you wonder where these ideas come from?
Sometimes.
Oh my gosh. It's always fascinating to me where a person never lived in the ice age, like why would that be on your radar?
A lot of it was a couple of years ago in Nova Scotia. We made the joke that every Wednesday we'd have a big major snowstorm or something. And so like you're trying to drive to work and you're basically caught in a snowstorm and you're stuck at work in a snowstorm so you couldn't get home. So that was what the idea for that came from.
See, I dug it out of you, didn't I?
Yeah.
I might have to write about the ice age. I'm in Northeast Ohio and we are still getting lake effect snow. It has just been snowing and snowing all winter. So I might have an ice age story somewhere inside of me as well.
Yeah.
Well, we've kind of moved around different areas here. Is there anything we missed that you wanted to talk about today?
Off the top of my, no, nothing missed, no.
All right. Well, we did a good job then. We mentioned your website. That's one place folks can go to learn more about you and purchase your books. Any other places or social media that you want to promote?
Well, my books are available currently only on Amazon. I put it anywhere else. They can also... I also have a YouTube channel, which they just look for my name there. On Twitter under the tag ScotiaWriter. With Pinterest under iWarl and Instagram under Ian Warl Author. Goodreads, it's Ian_Warl.
Okay, alrighty. And the main website is IanWarlAuthor.com. IanWorrall. So there's two R's, two L's. Author.com. IanWarlAuthor.com. The title of the book is No Remorse, No Regret. Any final words before we sign off here?
Not at all. Just good luck to everybody in their endeavors.
You're a good guy. Thank you so much for sharing you and your book with us today. And maybe when your sequel comes out, we can do this again.
Yeah, definitely.